Good morning, and please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And the meditation of our hearts, the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts just seems so fitting for today's scripture that we heard. Now, rituals and traditions. Do you like rituals and traditions? Yeah. They're not a bad thing. We love them. They define sometimes who we are, what we do. They're not a bad thing. They can be very soothing. They can be comforting. They can help enrich a celebration that we're having. They can protect us. They can keep us safe. It's how we use them. So there was a wedding here last night. How many of you have ever been to a wedding? How many of you have been involved in a wedding? How many of you have been the bride and the groom? So what's the very first thing, right? So you go and you pick out your wedding dress. And you're coming down the aisle. What goes on when someone comes down the aisle in the wedding dress? I'm sorry? Everybody stands. And let's face it, there are comments, aren't there? She has some nerve wearing white. I don't know if that is even said as much anymore as way back when. I think that was said about my grandmother back in 1926 by her sisters. My mother thought she was a premature baby until she was probably about 45 when she learned that was not the case. Rituals. Dancing with the parents, right? The groom dances with his mother, the bride dances with her father. And it's beautiful to see. And then someone says, really? That's the song they chose? this other, I like Sunrise Sunset. You know, that's a nice song that they should have chosen. How about the cake cutting and that whole ceremony? The introduction of the new couple. Now, how about the gift giving and the ritual and the custom of the gift giving? So in New York, gifts were cash. Anybody here from New York? Am I right? It's cash. You give cash. If you came with a present, they would look at you like, what is wrong with you? The tradition was cash. And how much did you give? Enough to what? Cover the plate. What do you think this wedding cost? How many people wrote the check out at the wedding? What do you think? 80 bucks? I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I didn't drink that much. Oh, they probably have an all. Am I right? You're laughing because I'm hitting it. Yeah, that's what was done. Now, if you lived in Connecticut or New Jersey, that was a classier group. You didn't think of giving cash. What did you give? A gift, of course. What is the china pattern? What is a glass? I didn't learn that until I was working for a company that was headquartered in New Jersey, went to a wedding, and I was like, what do you mean there's a gift table? I learned that cash is like crude. There's judging that goes on, isn't there? There is judging. We can't help it. That's the issue that Jesus is talking about here. That's the what we would call the heart of the matter, is the judging that goes on. The heart of the matter is the place where our heart is. The issue here is the heart. I've got to tell you something pretty funny. How many of you here have ever attended or were part of a graduation ceremony before? Right? It is a joyous occasion, is it not? Parents are happy, thank goodness, hopefully the loans will be over. Right? Now, my first graduation ceremony was high school. Now it's like they do pre-K, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school, right? It goes on and on and on. So my very first one was high school, and man, there's something about when you get that cap and gown, and you got to make sure you got the tassel on the right side, and you see all of your teachers and administrators, and they've got their, you know, robes on, and it's all pomp and circumstance. Oh, what do they play, by the way? And is that not the best thing when you're walking? Because it's always like you want to walk. I want to walk. I want to walk. I work so hard for this. I want to walk. So it's like you hear that and it's like brings tears to your eyes. You work so hard for this. It's the greatest thing ever. And then when I had my undergraduate degree, it was the same thing, only now, you know, well, my high school, actually, we had 1,500. In our graduating class, there was 1,500. And I was lucky because I got a first row seat, because if you graduated in the top 50, you got to sit right up front so you could see all your friends. But that wasn't necessarily the case when I graduated with my bachelor's degree. So the same thing, you know, oh, this time we get these, like, different color things and all exciting. You hear the music. As soon as that music starts, it's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? It can bring you to tears and joy. And then for my first graduate degree that I got, now we get hoods. Well, that was cool. You got a hood out, what color you were, or what was degree you were graduating with, and all exciting. And Carl was able to come to this one because I was older when I got this degree. And all I felt like I was doing, I'm a lifelong learner, so that's just how I am. I'm always like, and I always say, oh, the degree doesn't matter, but boy, the minute you hear that music and you're walking, it's like, wow, I worked really hard for this. Well, how many years ago is it now? 5 years ago, I went for my second master's, and that is a Master of Divinity. And so I'm all excited because we're going to walk. You know, who's going to school up in Minneapolis to do this? And so we get ready, we line up, and I'm getting ready to hear that music, and I'm pumped, I'm excited, and I hear the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. And I said, what the heck? Where's the pomp and circumstance? You see, I completely forgot what this graduation was about. There was 50, 60, 70 of us that were earning our Master of Divinity. There were other master degrees that were being given out and doctorate degrees that were being given out. But these were going to be the future pastors of the world. Now, you're not automatically ordained. You have to receive a call. If you don't receive a call, you don't become a pastor. So this is the first step in the process. And I am rocked to the core, because in my mind, the tradition is pomp and circumstance. That's what I'm supposed to hear. And I hear the hymn, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Huh. The bells are ringing, the, you know, banners are flying. And I stopped dead in my tracks and I said, oh my gosh, where is your heart at? Because it wasn't in the right place. I had completely forgotten what I was doing there because I had gotten caught up in the tradition. And that led me back to what brought me to the Lutheran Church. My tradition growing up, my faith tradition, was totally different. And I remember going back to church after many, many years, and I didn't feel quite right in that faith tradition. It just didn't feel right. I was 28. It's 30 years ago. And I remember that I said, you know, I'm going to try that little church. It's a Lutheran church. I'm going to try that church. And I went in. And the first thing when I walked in, because of my faith tradition, is I went like this. So some of you know what I'm doing here, right? What am I doing? I'm looking for the holy water, for goodness sake. There's supposed to be a little round thing here with holy water that I dip my finger in and make the sign of the cross. Because that's kind of how you knew whether or not someone was from my faith tradition or not when they would walk into that particular church. Did I bother to see the gigantic font right in front of me of the baptismal font? No. I quickly judged that there was no holy water for me to dip my hand into. And then when I walked up to the aisle, you know, of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, my faith tradition, the first thing you have to do. Now, I would always ask the question, is it the left knee or the right knee? My father would be like, it's the right knee, and just remember, it's the right knee. Somebody else would say, it's the left knee. It doesn't matter. Of course, I learned that as an adult. But that was the first thing. You better get that knee all the way down and make the sign of the cross before you go into the pew. And I see people coming in and just sitting down. Like, what the heck? And I look down, I'm like, where the heck are the kneelers? There are no kneelers here. I mean, during communion, we're supposed to kneel. We're not supposed to stand. We're supposed to kneel. Where are the bells? You know, the bells when the host is being raised and the wine is being raised and the bells. I always said that was to wake up the kids or maybe the older adults, like, okay, that's being lifted up. So all of these things is what I was focused on, the rituals, all of the rituals. I don't even think I heard the sermon that day. I just looked at everyone who was there and judged them. I'm better. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I am going to share it with you because that is where my heart was at. We do things better. I went home and told Carl about that, and he's like, did you really think that, Mary? And I said, yes, I'm embarrassed to say it. He said, I'm going with you next week. I think he was excited to get out of all of that. But the funny thing is, and it's not funny, that is where my heart was at. And it was only years and years and years later that I came to understand what this passage means. We can get so caught up in the rituals, in the things that we do for the sake of doing them, for the sake of someone, oh, look at how holy that person is, instead of why we're doing it. When I make the sign of the cross, it is a reminder to me that God comes down to me, and I am called to go out to each other as I say the words in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is a reason now why I do that. Sometimes when I'll go to church, I will see those when right before the gospel is read, right? Glory to you, O Lord. In my tradition that I grew up in, it was, you know, from the head to the lips to my heart. And so when I see that today, knowing the person, I can tell, is this just a thing that you do? Or is it you're preparing yourself to receive God's word? I am not proud of those thoughts that I had. I've come a long way. I needed heart surgery. I needed my heart to be cleaned out. And you know something? I still need for my heart to be cleaned out. And the only person that can clean my heart is Jesus Christ. Because I sure can't do it. Because when I think of all the things that I read, envy, jealousy, judgment, elevating ourselves, I fit into those categories. I've been on the giving end of it. I've been on the receiving end of it. That's the heart of the matter. It's the matter of where our heart is. We all have cleansing that needs to be done. Let's let Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, cleanse our hearts. Because we sing that song, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Amen. Amen.